And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn vow.
Years ago, I was invited to a party.
It is time for stories from Ex Fabula on WWM. My name is El Cabong, and joined by Leah Delaney, the co-founder.
AKA El Dog.
There you go. Of Milwaukee's Ex Fabula. And on Wednesday nights, she brings a tote bag full of stories to the studio, and we get to listen to some of them, and we have a very curious theme tonight.
Milwauktoberfest.
Yes, and as we were saying before we started doing this, Oktoberfest starts in a lot of places this week, so I guess, you know, the end of September, 1st of October is the big swilling of the Oktoberfest products in many places around the state, I guess.
Yep, indeed, and God knows we have enough stories about drinking in my tote bag of stories.
Oh,
so
I
thought this would be a really good time to share.
Well, let's share one right away, get that out of the way, and then talk about upcoming events. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay, what's our first one tonight?
Okay, this one is from our first season. We had a theme called Second Thoughts, and this right here is Mike Brenner, who, in lieu of the theme, owns Brenner Brewing here in Milwaukee, a new craft beer place. It just opened up this year, actually. So he has a story for you about drinking. So let's hear Mike Brenner's second thought story.
So let me set the stage for this story. In September, I ventured out to Denver to the Great American Beer Festival. And as you can imagine, for any 35-year-old man, it was a rite of passage. It was about a 100,000 square foot convention center. You know, you pay $35 to get in. There's 600 breweries from all over America, 2,500 beers on tap. You get 4 hours to drink as many of those beers as you can cram down your fat, double-chinned throat. Needless to say, being from Milwaukee, I saw it as a challenge. Especially when I saw that they had Miller. Miller was there. They let Miller show up, and they had Golden Colorado listed under Miller. It was a big insult. But after fighting with the Coors lady for 25 minutes and drinking my first Coors of my life, she started to agree with me. So being the oldest in a family of four children, I need lots of attention. And there was this karaoke stage. So imagine this 100,000 square foot auditorium. There's this main stage where, like, they gave out awards, like, you have the best stout in the world. Like, this is a big deal. Like, George from Cheers, or Norm, George Went, he was there. He, like, talked about his book and, like, what it was like making Cheers. And then between all those things, they had karaoke. So about 3.5 hours into drinking my attempt to drink 2,500 beers, I decided that it would be a great idea to get up on stage. So I put my name in the hat, and I figured I was actually there alone. I flew out from Milwaukee and figured it would be good to make some friends. So I chatted up some people, and I got up on stage, and then my song came on. I'm not sure if you can hear. I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. Now, when Purple Rain came on, there was about 30 people. When they heard that first line, probably about 200 of the 3,000 people came over. Now, what they didn't know is that I'd done Purple Rain before, and that when I sing it, I like to take my clothes off. I only want to hear you one time laughing. So people started screaming. Now there's about 400 people around the main stage. And I'm like, I only want to laughing in the purple rain. More people are like, just like cameras. Like, I'm like, I'm going to be all up in Twitter tomorrow. Nobody's going to top my Twitter rankings tomorrow. So I'm up there. I go for the belt. And there are, it was like the Beatles when they were first came to New York. It was like, people were screaming. There was like women running in the crowd. And I was like, and then I had this moment, I was like, how far do I take this? Needless to say, the 600 or 700 beers that I had tried kind of took over. I swear to you that when my pants fell, I had no intention of going any further. But, and I won't, because this is a family establishment. But I have this great tattoo of a stack of pancakes on my right butt cheek. And I couldn't help but show it off. So I'm standing there with my pants around my ankles, and I, you know, the big finish. When out of the corner of my eye, I see like 3 security guards. And at this point, like some guy, I mean, I was going to say a fat guy. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I'm a big guy. Some guy like twice my size runs up on stage and is putting his arm around me like he wants a part of my spotlight. And I'm like, dude, really? He starts dancing, trying to get on the mic. And then the next thing I know, this woman like runs on. She's screaming. I finish my song and the Denver police escort me out of the building and say, sir, you are not allowed in this festival. We are tearing up your badge. People are not allowed to show their buttocks in Denver. Thank you.
And that was Mike Brenner's Second Thought Stories. I love Prince, just as just like the next person does. And his like interpretation live, watching him just kind of slightly strip a little bit to Purple Rain was pretty exciting.
We're talking about, yeah, there was, you know, I'm not the world's biggest Prince fan. Maybe not at all, but, well, maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit.
Thank you.
A little bit. But I just have this memory, and shame on me for thinking of this the first thing, of whatever video it was or whatever special it was where he was using that purple guitar and wearing pants that had no butt.
Oh. You're like, where can I get me some of those pants? I knew it.
I'm sorry. That's, no, I do like, I mean, and I do appreciate a lot of what he has done. That's just that yeah. It doesn't top my playlist. That's all.
Yep. Something about Prince makes people want to expose their butts.
I guess.
So there
guess.
It is. So
how does that relate to what we're talking about anyway? You said this has to do with Prince. So let's go back to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Mike doing his whole brewery thing and going to Colorado, and there was like the karaoke machine, and of course Prince comes to mind. We all have our karaoke faves, and I believe he just swung it in there. Not a lot of people use music during the stories either. We kind of frown upon any notes or any costumes mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Embellishments of any kind?
Yeah, but yeah. This kind of really, you know, lended itself to the story itself, so...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I can buy into that.
Hey, do you want to hear another story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Let's move it along.
Okay.
I could talk about Prince for the next 2 hours, and I know you or your listenership does not want to hear all about that. So.
No, but I want to tell people that this forthcoming story is going to have a few beeps in it.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So you're not going to... There were some, you know, words we can't say on the radio mm-hmm. that were used in the telling of the story, but it's not going to hurt if we take them out and replace it with, you know, or something like that. So. Mm-hmm. Some kind of noise or just silence or something. So.
We welcome all language, like however you feel it necessary to tell your story at our events. I mean, these are adult stories more times than not. So, yeah, in this case, a great story, a couple little doodah hoo-has. Right. So.
And if you're ever thinking about, gee, I hope they play this story of mine on the radio, well, then don't swear so much because you're making extra work for me, okay?
Exactly.
So what do we got
up
here?
Yeah, there's a new clause in our waiver for Exfabula. This one is from Bob Murray. He told a 5-minute story at our themed emergency. So here's Bob Murray's story.
Hey, I'm Bob Murray. So
on a Monday morning at 6 in the morning, I'm woken up to a girl yelling at the top of her lungs, "You slut. Get the hell out of here. Put your clothes on. I thought you were my best friend." Now, to figure out where the story came from, we got to back up to Sunday night. Now, Sundays are my day. I know God tries to monopolize it, but they're my day. And I don't like to do anything on Sunday. And so it's 11 o'clock on Sunday. I just got done watching 60 Minutes, and there's a loud knock on our door. Now, I live in a duplex, but there's actually four units in it, and I'm on the first floor, and the main door, somebody's pounding on. And we're like, this is weird. And I lived with a girl, and she's 5'3", 110 pounds, very cute. And I figured the best thing to do is have her go answer the door, which she did. She's such a sucker. And she answers, goes to the door, and she looks out, and she yells, she goes, "It's the police." And then I'm like, well, wait a second. I'm not in college anymore. This is okay. So I go to the door, and it's not one police officer. It's three or four. And there's a girl crying hysterically, and the police ask me, who just ran up the stairs? Who's that guy that just ran up the stairs? I said, I have no idea. They're like, well, do you know Jessica? I go, I don't know Jessica. I'm really doing bad at all these questions. And I said, what's going on? They said, well, we're looking for Jessica. And anyways, just forget about it. I said, well, if you need, you know, if you're looking for a guy, you can come through my place and look in the backyard. And they said, okay. So one of the police officers comes through my place, looks in the backyard, doesn't find anyone. I said, what is going on? And he said, well, your neighbors downstairs had, were drinking a lot, and they're walking to a bar. And one of their friends jumped into a stranger's car, and they fear for her life. I go, oh, okay. So we go back to the door, and the other police are there, and the girl's still crying. And the police look at me, and they said, is this blood fresh? Now, obviously, I probably look like a guy that leaves blood on my wall. And I looked, and it's not just like a paper cut. There's a lot of blood on the wall, which I'm concerned with now a little bit. So I bring him back through my house again to look in the backyard, and as I do that, I hear a loud bang, like a crash. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? We go back. They happen to break down the door from my neighbor's house, and the door is demolished. I mean, there's nothing left of it. And they go down there. They don't find her. So I'm confused. And I'm trying to solve this mystery, which I have no idea about. Uh-oh, story's halfway done. You must know it. So, long story short, they find this girl passed out in a neighbor's yard a block away. And they ask, the girl that's crying now is yelling at the police saying, how do you know it's her? How do you know that's the girl? How do you know it's her? And they said, well, we asked her, and she said yes. And she said, you're just going to believe a drunk girl? And they're like, all right. They take her away, and everything's fine. I'm now all worked up, and about 15 minutes later, I hear in the hallway a loud commotion. I'm like, what the hell is going on now? This is a Sunday night. And I go out there, and it's the neighbor who has a little efficiency, who's also the guy who takes care of the place, and he's walking out of the neighbor's downstairs with his arms full of beer and a half gallon of ice cream. So he's looting their place. So I text my neighbor. I said, you gotta come home. This is great. Your door's broken over. The guy is looting your place. You gotta come over. No response. I'm like, this is an emergency. I gotta call him. So I call him, and I said, hey, and I'll leave his name because I don't know. Anyways, so I call him. I said, listen, somebody, Josh is looting your place. Your door's broken down. And he said, Bob, I've had a really bad day. I go, okay. Shit, 1 minute. I said, what's going on? He said, well, I just found out my girlfriend's cheating on me. Apparently, my door's broken down. I don't give a rat's if somebody's looting a couple beers and ice cream out of my place. So I said, fine, I'm going to leave it alone. I go to sleep. And the next morning, I wake up to someone yelling, and it's his girlfriend yelling at the top of her lungs. I can hear through the floors, you get the hell out of my bed. You're my best friend. He happened to take his girlfriend's best friend home that night to get back at her, and she happened to walk in on them. And that's how, because we only have 1 minute left, that's how the story ended.
And that was Bob Murray with his emergency story, which, of course, deals with drinking, which, of course, is under our theme tonight of Milwauktoberfest.
Milwauktoberfest on the 1st of October. How appropriate. And appropriately also, just a couple of weeks now till our first story slam. And the theme, oh, you told me what it was last week, and now I forgot already.
Oh, it's
okay. Crossing over.
Oh, good job. Good job. And ladies and gentlemen, I was not holding a sign up just now. He remembered it all on his own. Hey. Yes. Crossing over. So, like, do you know any sort of, like, possible ways you could take crossing over?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You want to share? Or
not now.
Okay, very good.
I don't have 5 minutes now.
You do not have 5 minutes, nor do I. So, but let me just wrap up today's show by saying that we do have our first Story Slam of the season coming up on October 22nd. That's a Wednesday. And it's going to be at the Time Cinema located in Washington Heights. The theme is, again, crossing over. And we have a new location this season that we're going to. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at Garfield 502, which is located in Halyard Park. We're going to be back at Lucille's and Hot Water Warehouse and back at the Time Cinema and then Turner Hall. Oh, we're going to be everywhere.
Yes, that sounds like, and you are in several neighborhoods.
Yes.
Which is good, not the same place all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Right. We'll be crossing over.
We'll be crossing over soon.
Okay. As always, thank you for coming in on Wednesday nights and celebrate Milwauktoberfest.
Yes. Clink. Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Thanks.